Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'd also like to extend a welcome to those who are joining us on the audio webcast. I'm Bill Whiteley, the Chairman, and I'm joined here today by Nicholas Anderson, Chief Executive, and Finance Director Kevin Boyd. I'll introduce the first half 2016 results. Kevin will explain some of the financial detail, and then Nick will take you through the operations and outlook. Afterwards, we'll be happy to take questions from the room. We are very pleased with the organic sales increase of 5% in the first half of 2016, which gave sales of £344 million. This was achieved against a backdrop of very low or zero industrial production growth rates. Adjusted operating profit was ahead 18% at reported exchange rates, and on the same basis, the underlying operating profit margin increased by 190 basis points. Watson-Marlow achieved 10% organic growth, with all regions contributing. In the steam specialties business, organic growth reached 4%, with all geographic divisions contributing to this growth, and particularly strong growth in Asia-Pacific. Nick will take you through the divisional results in detail shortly. The adjusted earnings per share were 73.1 pence, and the interim dividend is increased by 8% to 22.5 pence. With that, I'll now hand you over to Kevin.
Thank you, Bill, and good morning, everyone. First, just to confirm that on this summary of the first half, that these are the adjusted results. The only material difference this time is the amortization of acquisition-related intangibles. As Bill said, organic sales growth was 5%, helped in part by a relatively weak compare to the second quarter of last year, in the second quarter of last year. The currency headwinds of the last few years have reversed, and we saw a 1% increase in sales due to exchange movements. The exchange impact on operating profit was negligible, with a £400,000 translation gain being partially offset by a £100,000 transaction loss. And I'll cover the various exchange movements in more detail on a later slide. The operating margin grew by 190 basis points due to the restructuring in the UK and the closure of a small manufacturing facility in the US in the first half of last year. A non-recurring benefit in Argentina as a result of their currency devaluation, and a positive business mix from the continued growth in Watson-Marlow. Net finance expenses increased to £1.3 million due to a reduced cash balance following the payment of the special dividend in the second half of last year. The overall tax rate has reduced slightly to 29.6%, and looking forward, I expect this rate to remain for the full year. Adjusted earnings per share of 73.1 pence grew 21%, benefiting from the lower tax rate and the share consolidation in June 2015 that was linked to the special dividend. And the interim dividend has been increased by just over 8% to 22.5 pence. Looking at the sales bridge, sales in the first half of 2015 were £320 million. As I've just said, exchange movements increased sales by just over 1%. Organic growth in the steam specialties business was 4%, helped by strong performance in China, the carryover of some large project orders in Korea, and significant price increases in Argentina following the Argentine currency devaluation in late 2015. Watson-Marlow's excellent performance of recent years has continued with 10% organic growth. And then looking at M&A, well, Watson-Marlow acquired SEPCO in April last year, Masosign Japan in July, and FlowSmart in November. The steam specialties business disposed of the M&M business in August 2015, and the net effect of these acquisitions and disposal was an additional 2.6 million sales in the first half. all of which gives us first half sales of £344 million. Looking at the profit bridge now, which shows the key changes and highlights the underlying movements in the first half. Starting on the left-hand side, profit in the first half of 2015 was £65.8 million. Exchange movements increased profit by £300,000. And in Latin America, benefited strongly in the first half of 2016 from Argentina's currency devaluation, as I've said, as US dollar-denominated prices rose ahead of input replacement costs. This non-recurring gain is estimated at £1.5 million. In the first half of 2015, we undertook a restructuring at the Steam Specialties UK manufacturing site and closed a small manufacturing site in Colorado. The net benefit of these two actions was £2.3 million. The net effect of the three small acquisitions and one disposal that I described earlier was an additional £800,000. Isolating these items shows underlying improvement in operating profit of £6.8 million, or approximately 10%, driven by good performance in both the Watson-Marlow and the Steam Specialties business. And Nick will take you through the detail of this in a moment. All of which gave us a half-year operating profit of £77.5 million. Now, having a look at margins, this chart shows the operating profit margins for the first and second half years over a 10-year period, the first half margin represented by the blue columns. The margin in the first half of 2016 increased by 190 basis points to 22.5% due to a number of factors. The benefits from the restructuring carried out last year and the devaluation in Argentina that I've just explained. Operational gearing from the positive organic sales growth, particularly in the second quarter. A business mix benefit seen from the faster growth in the higher margin Watson-Marlow business. And slightly lower material input costs. Looking to the second half of the year, we would expect to see a benefit from currency, which I'll discuss in the next slide. The effects of the heater acquisition that we announced today will more than offset growth from acquisitions and disposals in the second half, from other acquisitions and disposals. We will not benefit from the restructuring or Argentina effect in the second half, and therefore we would expect the margins on our constant currency organic growth to be similar to those seen in the second half of last year. In addition, we will further invest in growth projects in the second half of the year, and as a result, we expect that the total margin in the second half of the year will be lower than that seen in the second half of 2015. As a result of recent currency volatility, particularly following the Brexit vote, we have again produced this chart, which tracks the monthly translational effect over 2015 and 2016, weighted by our mix of sales. The blue line in the chart shows the beginning of a tailwind, which totaled just over 1% in the first half, shown by the vertical arrow on the left-hand side, which then extends to an expected impact of 6% for the full year, if the June exchange rates prevail for the remainder of the year, shown by the arrow on the right-hand side. In the period, the US dollar, euro, and renminbi strengthened against sterling, compared with the same period last year, while the Brazilian real and Argentina peso weakened by 34% in the case of the peso. This chart explains the currency effect on sales. If we switch to operating profit, the impact in the first half has been negligible, as I said, at £300,000. Looking forward to the full year, we anticipate that the impact in currency and operating profit will be similar to that on sales at 6% for the full year. Turning now to cash flow, we had another good performance in the first half. Operating profit to operating cash conversion was 90%, down from 98% in the prior period due to an increase in working capital as the business grows and an increase in capital expenditure as the new manufacturing facilities in China and India near completion. We would expect capital spending for the full year to be at a similar level to 2015. We finished the first half with net cash of £20.6 million, down from £53.5 million that we reported last year due to the £91 million special dividend paid last year, but up from the £4.8 million reported in December. Capital employed increased by £42 million in the year from June 15, with £32 million of that coming from currency changes. Despite this 12% increase, our return on capital employed over the last 12 months rose from 43.5% to 45.1%. We've shown you this chart before, and it's useful in looking at the various factors affecting the margin. It is indicative, as you'll see, that the H1 arrows are an indication versus the H1 2015, H2 arrows indicative against H2 2015. As I said, currency movements not material in the first half, but we would expect them to be a benefit in the second half if rates remain at their June levels. Operational leverage was positive in the first half due to the strong organic growth we saw in the second quarter. If organic growth rates in the second half return to rates more representative of the underlying industrial production, we'd expect opportunities for leverage to be limited in the second half. We continue to achieve price increases that cover our inflationary cost increases, so this is shown as neutral in both columns. Our own material costs have been lower, and this has again supported margins. Recent forecasts are showing an uptick in material costs, which we think may impact margins in the second half. The action we took in the UK and the US last year to reduce costs and improve efficiency benefited the first half margins, as they occurred in the first half last year. As a result, they will not impact H2 on H2. Business and product mix is shown as positive in H1, incorporating the favourable Watson-Marlowe mix, business mix, and the non-recurring benefits of the Argentine currency devaluation, which we don't expect to repeat in the second half. We continue to invest in business development with a number of projects, such as the Spirax Sarco Academy, new operating companies, and new product development, which will have a greater cost in the second half. The net effect of these factors leads us to expect that, while higher than the first half of this year, second half operating margins will be lower than those reported in the second half of last year. I'll now hand you over to Nick to take you through the operations and outlook. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all again. As on previous occasions, I will take you through the performance of our four business segments and share with you some of the actions we're taking to continue outperforming our markets. I will also share another two customer case studies as further examples of our strategy in action. And to finalize, I will summarize the key messages of the day and will open up for the questions that you may have. Consistent with previous occasions, I am sharing this chart to provide an update on the evolution of the industrial production growth rates, or IP growth rates, that best represent the behavior of our underlying markets. The data is sourced from CHR Economics' latest report. The green line on this chart shows the evolution of the global IP annual growth rates by quarter since 2012, and includes CHR Economics' latest forecast for the balance of 2016. Please note that this forecast does not yet take into account any potential effect resulting from the UK Brexit referendum. It is encouraging to note the turning point that occurred in the last quarter of 2015, reversing the declining trend of the previous six quarters. This trend change was driven by modest IP recovery in the emerging markets, which are represented by the red line, during the first quarter of this year. Most of this small rebound was driven by China's return to just above zero growth levels. The second point to note is that global IP in the first half of 2016 has converged around the zero growth level, with IP for both developed markets in the blue line and emerging markets in the red line also set at that very low, same low level. Finally, IP growth rates for both emerging and developed markets are forecasted to improve slightly in the second half of this year, primarily in the fourth quarter. Now, if this small upturn occurs, the full year 2016 global IP growth rate will reach the same close to zero level as the full year 2015 IP growth rates, validating our view that overall market conditions in 2016 will be no different to 2015. Looking now at Europe, Middle East and Africa segment, organic sales grew by 1%, while operating profit increased 11%. This performance was achieved despite industrial production growth rates in the region remaining at very low levels of close to 1%, with some markets, such as the UK, seeing no IP growth in the first half of 2016. We have seen sales growth in most countries across this region, including the larger operations in Germany and France. The UK and Italy enjoyed strong performance in the first half of last year and were down against that tough comparator this first half year. The weakening of sterling against euro and most other currencies in this region produced a modest tailwind that increased sales on translation by 2% and profits by 1%. However, this effect was more than offset by the disposal of M&M International in Italy to Rotork PLC in July of 2015. Operating profits increased strongly, benefiting from lower material cost, continued price management initiatives, overhead controls, and the full benefit of headcount reduction actions taken in the UK manufacturing unit last year that produced a £1.6 million profit gain in this first half year. Lastly, there has been no perceivable trading impact to date from the UK's decision to exit the European Union. Appendix 1 of this presentation lays out in further detail the key impacts and outlook for the group that we anticipate arising from this unprecedented decision. Nevertheless, we are a global business, and we are well placed to mitigate the risks, but also capitalize on opportunities this decision may present us with. Moving across to Asia Pacific, organic sales in Asia Pacific were up 8% at constant currency, and operating profits were up 14%, despite economic conditions continuing to weaken across the region. Sales in China were up strongly, driven mostly by smaller self-generated improvement projects, as well as a few larger projects in the oil and gas sector. In line with the implementation of our strategy for growth, we have increased our focus on uncovering smaller improvement opportunities funded by our customers' maintenance spend. Korea sales and profits were up, as the order book of larger capital projects carried over from last year started to unwind, as expected, in the first half of this year. We anticipate a lower sequential contribution to growth from China and Korea in the second half of this year, as the first half benefited from comparison with a weak second quarter in 2015. Our new wholly owned operating company in India commenced direct sales operations in the second half of last year and made small contributions to sales in this first half year. The state-of-the-art manufacturing, training, and office facilities is now completed, and limited manufacturing commenced in June. Industrial production growth rates remain weak across the region. China and Korea improved marginally in the first half, and are now expected to remain at close to zero growth levels for the remainder of 2016. We remain positive on the long-term prospects of the Asia-Pacific region, despite the short-term market weakness. We continue investing to implement our strategy for growth, improving our strong position in key markets while growing in new ones. Moving on to the America segment, organic sales were up 5% at constant currency, as strong gains in Latin America exceeded the slight decline in North America. Gains in translation from the strengthening US dollar were more than offset by the weakening Latin American currencies, particularly, as Kevin already mentioned, the Argentine peso, that suffered a significant devaluation in late 2015. In North America, industrial production growth was modestly negative in the first half of this year, adversely impacting the distribution channels that account for most of our sales in this region. We continue our journey towards a larger direct sales content in the USA, supplementing our traditional distribution channels, and are seeing positive progress in the food and beverage and pharmaceutical industrial sectors. In Latin America, we achieved organic sales growth in all markets except Brazil, where sales were strongly down due to poor macroeconomic performance conditions. In Argentina, where prices are effectively dollarized, constant currency sales were up significantly following the strong currency devaluation. Operating profit for the Americas grew 28% at constant currency, as we benefit from the cost-saving actions taken last year in the USA and the non-recurring effects of Argentina's currency devaluation. Dollar-denominated prices rose ahead of input replacement costs, as we estimate this short-term gain to have contributed £1.5 million of extra profit in the first half of this year, which we do not expect to repeat in the second half of this year. We announced this morning that on July 1st, we acquired the assets of a Brazilian control valve manufacturer named Hita, previously part of Pentair's Valve and Controls division. This acquisition is highly synergistic with our existing business in Brazil and will commence trading later in the fourth quarter of this year. We anticipate that startup and pre-operating losses incurred this year will reach £1.2 million on negligible sales. So to conclude the Americas section, we remain positive on the Americas region due to the competitive strength of our well-established position that continues to allow us to make progress despite the challenging market conditions. In Watson-Marlow, constant currency sales were up by an outstanding 17%, including strong contributions from the 2015 acquisitions of Asepco and FlowSmart in the USA and the Mazasign Premix business in Japan. On an organic basis, sales grew by 10%, and the currency tailwind raised reported sales growth to 21%. All geographic regions contributed to this strong sales performance, with exceptional growth registered in Asia-Pacific, where both China and Korea secured record projects, and our new operating company in Taiwan got off to a strong start. Sales increased across most industry sectors, with strong growth in the biopharma sector, where our traditionally strong presence is being reinforced by the BioPure, Asepco, and FlowSmart acquisitions. Good growth was also achieved in the OEM and general industry sector, while food and beverage sales were down against a very strong comparator. New products continue to contribute well across the various industry sectors serviced by Watson-Marlow. This half year has already seen the introduction of the Qdos 120 pump, completing the range extension of this innovative peristaltic metering product, as well as the new Watson-Marlow 530 pump. The development pipeline remains strong, and we anticipate further contributions going forward. In this first half, reported operating profit grew by an exceptional 33%. And extended the trading margin by 300 basis points to 32.9%, as we benefited from strong operational gearing on the organic sales growth, a currency tailwind, and the contribution from the 2015 acquisitions. So, moving into the second part of my presentation now, I will update you on the notable progress we are making in the global implementation of our strategy for growth. I will also share two new customer case studies that help illustrate how our strategy is delivering growth that outperforms our markets. We have intensified our initiatives to accelerate and broaden the training and development of our customer-facing organization so that we can be more effective identifying and generating opportunities to improve our customers' steam and niche pumping systems. This is a long-term initiative. And to accelerate this process, we have created the Spirax Sarco Academy with its own fully dedicated organization, programs, and an incremental budget of close to £1 million. We continue on the journey to increase the industry sector focus of our direct sales and service organization, enhancing their effectiveness to uncover self-generated growth opportunities. We are encouraged by the higher sales growth achieved in the first half in all of the strategic sectors we have chosen, such as food and beverage, pharmaceutical, healthcare, chemicals, and OEM. We continue to focus our R&D resources for both the Steam Specialties and the Watson-Marlow businesses on the development of innovative new products that broaden our ability to deliver exciting new solutions for our customers' unrealized needs. We continue advancing the Global Excellence in Supply Chain initiatives in both the Steam Specialties and the Watson-Marlow businesses, reducing manufacturing costs, improving product availability while optimizing working capital, and raising the safety, functionality, and quality of our products. We have also opened a new clean steam unit at our manufacturing plant in Cheltenham, dedicated exclusively to products destined to the pharmaceutical, healthcare, and food and beverage industries, this being our first sectorized manufacturing unit. And we have continued our geographic expansion, opening the £12 million state-of-the-art manufacturing, trading, and training facility in India, the startup of new direct sales companies in Vietnam and Colombia, and the synergistic asset acquisition of Hitter Control Valves in Brazil. The first of today's customer case studies comes from a major brewer in Brazil that was encountering numerous problems with its bottle washing equipment. These machines operate with high-temperature hot water, which is generated using a steam-based heat exchanger inside the washing machine. Typical problems included fouling, low heat transfer efficiency, frequent breakdowns, high maintenance costs, and safety concerns for the employees responsible for cleaning and maintaining these machines. Our engineers developed a bespoke solution using a Turflow corrugated heat exchanger with rotary draining strainers, which were installed externally to the washing machines. This solution saved over 4 million liters of water per year, lowering maintenance costs, reduced accident risks, and also generating energy savings in excess of £90,000 per annum. Another nice example of how bespoke engineered solutions drive customer value and drive our growth. Our second customer case study today comes from Watson-Marlow UK, where Mathersign pumps have enabled fully automated granola production. The customer manually weighed ingredients, such as vegetable oil and golden syrup, into a mixer. This was a time-consuming process that required the use of buckets, weighing scales, and ladders. Watson-Marlow offered a solution to make the process more efficient, using two Mathersign pumps to dose oil and syrup from heated vessels into a blender, and a third pump to dispense this blend into a mixer containing the dry ingredients. As every revolution of the Mathersign pump produces identical volumes of material, the pump removes the need for manual weighing and lifting of ingredients. The low shear, gentle pumping action enables ingredients to be transferred without the risk of degradation, and the pump's easy, clean design has further improved their efficiency. another good example of how superior products deliver customer value and drive growth. So we now come to the end of this presentation. So I would like to summarize the key points we shared with you today. Organic sales are up 5%, aided in part by a weak comparator with the second quarter of this 2015. We consider this to be a good result given the global slowdown of industrial production markets that we serve. Adjusted organic profit is up 18%, benefiting from higher sales, cost-saving actions, and the non-recurring contributions from Argentina's currency devaluation. Currency movements provided a 1% tailwind to sales, broadly neutral on profits. However, if the June 30th exchange rates prevail until the end of the year, this tailwind expands to about 6% for the full year. Our balance sheet remains strong, and we achieved 90% cash conversion in the first half. The board has increased the interim dividend by over 8% to 22.5 pence per share. We continue implementing our strategy for growth and are encouraged by the higher sales growth rates achieved in our priority industry sectors. We anticipate a slower sales growth rate and a narrower profit margin expansion in the second half of this year due to multiple non-recurring factors that benefited the first half performance. We have a robust and resilient business model that positions us well to navigate the current economic environment, and we remain confident that the group will make further progress in 2016.